Hi, I'm Ruthie, and I have a recorder. Tune in Wednesdays from 4 to 5 to Out There. We'll meet people and plants around the streets and paths of Northampton, and we'll think about ways we can share the world. Here on Valley Free Radio, or archived online at weatherbeer.com/out there. Get out if you can. But if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if they laugh at us. Let them take the bus and need a sickle for us. They can have a Cadillac and T-1-2. But give me my rocket bicycle for two. And that's today. Thanks for tuning in to Out There. It's Wednesday, August 3rd. And we have live guests in the studio today, Kelly Silliman and her daughter, Rosalie. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Kelly is a founder and director of the Tiny Dance Project and a dancer, dance teacher, choreographer, and a mom. And Rosalie is a homeschooler, 14 years old. Rosalie, you what were you doing at Smith College this afternoon?
I am in a year with Frog and Toad with New Century Theater.
Cool. One of the reasons that I was excited to talk with Kelly and anyone from her family who wanted to come today was that in addition to doing Tiny Dance, which she'll talk, they'll talk a lot more about that, but in addition to doing this dance performance on bike and stage on bike, she also told me recently that she decided to quit driving this summer.
That's true.
So we'll see how that's going later on in the show, too. I guess just like to start, Kelly, can you tell me a little bit about Tiny Dance and what it is? And it is very relevant because there's performances coming up soon, which I'm sure Kelly will talk about. But yeah, what is it?
Yes. Well, I have been a dancer really my whole life and performed on stages and in site-specific work. And 3 or 4 years ago, I started thinking a lot about what it meant to be a dancer and a performer in today's world with the environmental realities that we're living with. And for many years, I've been interested in tiny houses. And so what I love about tiny houses are that they are highly designed for efficiency and beauty. And I wanted to think about what dance performance would look like with that same framework. So I have a 4-foot by 8-foot stage that I tow by bicycle to performances, and all of the artistic decisions are made through the lens of sustainability. So everything is how can this be lower tech? How can this be more efficient? How can this be sustainable? And that ranges from performing in natural light, so no lights, no recorded music. We sing our own accompaniment. And we bike to every performance. Our costumes are created out of, we say salvaged materials. They're often Goodwill finds that we alter in some way. And just everything we do is that question of like, how can this be more sustainable? And we also talk about a lot about artist sustainability. And so one of the founding principles of the company is that I pay my artists. And at the same time, making the work accessible and available to people who can't afford to go to the theater felt really important. And so I had these competing values of paying the artists a living wage as well as never charging for the performances.
So how did you do that? I mean, you had this whole series of free tours coming up along the rail trail, and how do people get paid?
An ongoing question. But we raise money via fundraising campaigns. We use a crowdfunding model, but I don't use any of the Kickstarter or Indiegogo platforms because they always take a cut of the money, which is completely reasonable and understandable. But in the context of Tiny Dance, the idea was to lower the overhead drastically and as much as possible so that all of that money goes towards the artists. Mm-hmm. We apply for individual artist grants. We do not have 501c3 status, so we're not a nonprofit. And because that also costs money. Mm-hmm. it does limit how what we can apply for, but we have been really fortunate. We have received in the past grants from the Northampton Arts Council, and this year from the Amherst Arts Council. So we get to bike to Amherst. We're really excited about that. We have very, very few costs now that we have our stage, and we're, you know, I spend a little bit of money on posters. We spend a little bit of money on costumes, and everything else just goes to the artists. Mm-hmm.
So when you first got the idea, or were trying to work on the idea to build this stage you could move by bike trailer, like, what was that process like?
Well, I think that might be actually why we first met, Ruthie, because I may have accosted you on the bike path and asked you about your trailer system. But when I very first started, I was in grad school at Smith College for dance. And I was in a choreography and design class, and this project had been on a list that I was keeping in the back of my notebook that was titled "Projects I'm Not Allowed to Dream About Until After Grad School," and then I ended up in this grad seminar, and I thought, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and work on the Tiny Dance project. And so the very first stage, I worked with Dan Rist, who's in the theater department at Smith College, who's an incredible designer, And I went in and I said, I want a stage that has wheels on it that I can tow by bicycle. And he said, oh, well, that's going to be really heavy. And what kind of wheels are you going to use? And I don't know if I can do that. And I said, okay, Dan. And then everybody who knows Dan is going to laugh at this because this is how Dan is. And then the next day he goes, I've been thinking about your stage. And so he and Alan Schneider and a student named Chase built this stage. And it was different than the one I have now. It hinged and folded in thirds, and the wheels were actually attached to the bottom, and we decided to use wagon wheels, I think they are. They were like solid rubber and a little bit small. And then I had one of those instep like Target kid trailers, and they built the stage so that I could use the same arm that I used for that trailer for the stage.
Like for the hitch?
Right.
To your bike?
Right. And there's a video of me somewhere on Vimeo, on my Vimeo page, like filming myself as I'm biking home the first time. And all you hear is this like squeak, squeak, squeak of the wheels. And the stage was solid. It was great. It worked, but it was really, really, really heavy. Uh-huh. And so then several months later, I was approached by an engineering group at Smith. This is after I graduated, and they wanted to build a new stage that was lighter and easier. And we had this really exciting collaboration between the engineers and an a cappella group, the Smith and Poofs, and Celebrations Dance Company, all student Smith student groups, where the engineers tried to build us a stage. And they, you know, like everything was really scientific, and they asked all the right questions, and they built something. But what they built was strong enough to hold us, but couldn't and was light and really exciting, and then couldn't quite handle the amount of movement that that happened when we were dancing on it. But I always say that I'm so grateful that they did that, because then I was able to sort of look at both models and build what we have now, which is essentially three equally sized platforms of plywood and 2x3s and 2x4s that we clamp together with C clamps. And then I had to find a trailer. And so that's when I think I contacted Alex and at Pedal People. And it happened that you guys had this trailer that had been built for somebody who then didn't want it. And
yeah, he'd built this really huge trailer for New England Wildflower Society for them to haul their seedling, their starts around on. And It fit
well. Perfectly. and I remember sort of asking to borrow it, and then it ended up that I think you guys didn't need it, and it was taking up space, and so it's become our trailer, and I painted it purple. And so we ratchet strap the three pieces of the stage to the trailer, and that's how we travel.
Mm-hmm. Rosalie, do you remember the beginning parts of this process, any of these challenges? What was it like when your mom was hauling that really heavy trailer around at first?
I just tried to avoid biking with her. it was fine. It was, you could tell it was heavy, though.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was really funny because at one point we had three stages on our porch. And and it was just like, you know, oh, well. But, yeah, I don't know.
Mm. Do you have any idea how much it weighed initially?
I don't know how much the first one was. I always tell people the stage is 200 pounds now. Mm-hmm. And I've been meaning to weigh it prior to this tour so I can have like an accurate number. But then of course, because I've got this big trailer, now I'm the one who also will haul like the snacks and the
lots of
blankets and the chairs.
Get another trailer for to share the weight.
We've discussed that, like my collaborators have talked about that if we ever went outside of you know, the Greater Northampton area, like almost everywhere we go, we can access primarily by bike paths, and it's really mm-hmm. smooth, and it's actually not that bad. Mm-hmm. But we've had some interest from places that are further away, and should any of those ever happen, I think we'd have to like split up the stage, mm-hmm. each take mm-hmm. a section.
So, are you, Kelly, always the one hauling it?
Yes, except we have performed twice at Park Hill Orchard in East Hampton. Uh-huh.
Hill, note the word hill.
Yeah. And from my house in Leeds, it's about 9 miles. And there's like, it's like three really intense hills from sort of where Smith College is to the orchard. Uh-huh. And my muscles usually fail on the second one. Uh-huh. So the first time my husband Tom took over, we hitched the and that was the really heavy stage. We hitched the trailer uh-huh. To him. And then last fall, my collaborator Jamie and I just swapped bikes because I was sort of—I mean, I had just stalled out on the hill.
And then you're on your way to perform. You have to have energy and to dance.
Right. That hasn't been like once somebody else has taken over, then mm-hmm. I mean, I remember getting on her bike and be like, I feel like I'm on a rocket ship, and you know, it's so light then. And once we're there, I drink some water and we like sort of warm up dance wise, and then it's fine.
And then you have to ride it back home.
Yes. Yeah. I guess I'm just used to it. I was like hauling the kids around before this, you know, and library books and mm-hmm. food. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Rosalie's your only child here, but you have three other kids.
Yes, I do. Rosalie is 14. Arissa is 11. Phoebe's 9. And Wiley will be 7 in the month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My son, Wiley.
That's cool. So how did you decide to quit driving this summer? And what was that like as a family? Who was involved in this decision?
Her.
Me. every summer. No. Oh, no.
All the time.
I say, I want to quit driving, or we should quit driving. We should only bike. I don't know. I go through these phases, but then every spring, I say we should, this is the year. And then Rosie's like,
absolutely not.
Well, actually what you say is, really, oh, mama, you want to quit everything and stop driving. It must be February.
It's true. February is when she gets all her bad ideas.
Good ideas. So anyway, this was just the year. I've talked about it for a while, and part of it has to do with the fact that especially during the sort of academic year, our lives are really busy. We're going in different directions.
There's a lot of driving, and sometimes I
like play Tetris with our schedule. I think, oh, well, there's 2 hours there. We can fit in a visit with a friend and or whatever it is. And so I thought, I was really interested in like the environmental considerations of not doing it, sort of taking a stand and being like, I'm not doing it. But it was also on a personal level, like this idea that maybe we could have a little bit more spaciousness in our summer schedule if like I wasn't a driver. And I should probably add that that my husband still drives, although he bikes to work every day. But like, if
I see him on the path,
you do, regularly. Yeah. And we bike a lot together, like more than we did last summer, for sure. But if we go to visit like relatives out of state, then we'll drive. Or if it's raining really hard and we're going somewhere as a family, he'll drive. And my uncle lives with us, and he drives, so he has been available. There's definitely been a few times where, you know, like she's been at the theater and the time he didn't work out to take the bus, and he'll like go and get her. But Tom just told me the other week that we've saved a lot of money on gas so far. Mm-hmm. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah. Have you spent more money on food?
No, but it's like
more money on food.
There's seven of us in our house. No, but it's summer and we have our farm share, yeah. So
it's a lot of food out there right now.
Yeah, and it's the kales take what you'll eat this week, so.
Cool. Yeah. So we eat a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of kale.
A lot of kale.
Cool. Well, we're going to take a little break. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. And I'm talking with Kelly Silliman and her daughter, Rosalie. Kelly's does the Tiny Dance Project with performances coming up in the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm, the 6th through the 13th.
Okay. And if people want to get a detailed schedule of those, is there like a website or Facebook page or something you recommend?
Our website is www.tinydanceproject.com. And we do also have a Facebook page, which is The Tiny Dance Project.
All right. Well, I'm going to play David Bowie.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
7, 6.
Commencing countdown, engines on.
3, 2.
Check ignition and may God's love be with you. This is ground control to Major Tom. You've really made the grade, and the papers want to know whose shirt you wear. Now it's time to leave the capsule if you dare. This is Major Tom to ground control. Stepping through the door, and I'm floating in a most peculiar way, and the stars look very different today. For here am I sitting in a tin can. We'll be right back.
That was David Bowie with Space Oddity. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM in Northampton in Florence. And today for on Out There, we have live guests. Kelly Silliman and her daughter, one of her daughters, Rosalie, are here. And we've been talking about the Tiny Dance Project and Kelly's non-driving summer. Kelly, do you want to just say why David Bowie's Space Oddity, how that relates?
Sure. So because all of the pieces that the Tiny Dance Project performs, we sing our own accompaniment. What we do is we collect lyrics that are resonant to us at the time and to the theme of whatever piece we're making. And so there's going to be a little bit of David Bowie in the piece this year. So that's why.
Cool.
People have to come to hear which lines.
Uh-huh. Well, can you tell Kelly, like, what's a day in the life of a tiny dance performer like?
Definitely.
And Rosalie, you can share what's tiny dance family life.
Well, first I'll just say that, I have four collaborators. I am a collaborator and I have three others.
Yeah. Can you give their names?
Definitely. Marie Brown, who is also the co-owner of Tree Cycle Arborists. Nicole Kutcher, who is a co-owner of Renew Pilates in East Hampton. And Jay Winnell, who is one of a part of Flame and Peach and the Liberated Waffles, which is I never say all the adjectives, but it's a punk anarchist political folk band. And they sing updated union songs, among many other things. Very, very, very cool band. And she's also an educator in the area. And so we all have other things that we do besides Tiny Dance. This is just sort of one small part. Three of us are parents. And so we rehearse once a week throughout the year and then more frequently as we're leading up to a performance. And then on performance days, we gather usually at my house. And there's often kids running around and friends and partners. And Rosie's going to talk a little bit about what that's like. And when we're ready, we warm up together. So we do vocal warm ups and physical warm ups, and then we jump on our bikes and ride down the street in one giant entourage that makes people stare. And then when we arrive at our performance venue, there's sort of this, eating some snacks and drinking some water, and then unloading the stage and figuring out exactly where it's going to go because we need level ground. And when we're performing on grass, there's always this question of, is it, I mean, 1 foot can make a difference.
Yeah.
And then getting into costume, and we don't always have places to change. So it's sort of figuring that out. So there's a lot of, what struck me the most actually when I very first started was all of the things that usually happen backstage are happening in front of everyone. Uh-huh. And so there's a transparency that's kind of vulnerable and a little bit scary, but also I think really beautiful. I mean, I like the idea of inviting people into that instead of hiding it. Mm-hmm. And then we perform, and we always perform twice at every venue because the people who come to see us are both people who know about us and are choosing to come, and then people who happen to walk by. Mm-hmm. And so we want the performances to be, if somebody comes by and they say, my gosh, this is great, and I want to see more, we can say, okay, well, stay, and mm-hmm. we have another show in 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then we pack up and bike home. Mm-hmm. So that's it from my perspective.
Yeah. Anything to add, Rosalie?
There's a lot of children. I'm the oldest of the Tiny Dance children, and the youngest is three. Uh-huh. So my 11-year-old sister, Arissa, and I are usually the ones who are, wrangling everybody. And usually there's friends, and everybody needs a little something. So it's always exciting.
Sounds a little bit like a circus.
Yeah.
That's a good description.
Yeah, it is.
So when you leave your house, Kelly, when the dance troupe leaves to go to a show, to go to a performance, like how many people might be in that group?
Ooh. We were just counting...
A lot.
Well, so I guess at the minimum, at the minimum, it's like 4 collaborators and 8 kids, although sometimes the youngest ones don't bike, and sometimes partners and friends. So, I mean, I say like definitely 15 is not unusual.
I would say 15, sometimes more, sometimes a few less.
Yeah. We've had like like parents come with us before from out of town, or my neighbors one time biked with us. And they have, you know, there's 5 of them. And And this year we're inviting people to bike with us. We had this realization last year that like the show really starts when we get on our bikes. And
there's a lot that happens before the actual performance.
There is definitely a lot that happens. And so there's information on our website, which is tinydanceproject.com, about where to meet and times and all of that. And so we're inviting people to like show up with their bikes and at the meeting places and join the parade. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you talk about some of the dates and locations of your upcoming shows?
Sure. So our opening performance is this Saturday, the 6th at 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock PM in Amherst at the Amherst Town Common. And we're really grateful to the Amherst Arts Council for supporting us this year. And they're the reason that we're heading over there. I've always wanted to go to, I like that ride. Uh-huh. So I've wanted for a while to take the tour to Amherst.
Probably a lot nicer now that they repaved.
Oh my gosh. I only wrote it a few times before that, but it was, definitely challenging. I can't imagine it on the, with the trailer. Bump, bump. Yeah. then on Sunday, we're performing at 11:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. On the East Hampton Bike Path behind Tandem Bagel, and they are sponsoring that performance. When I brought these collaborators on board, 2 of them lived in East Hampton, and 1 still does, and her business is there. Both of their businesses are there, actually. And so we really wanted to bring the tour to East Hampton this year as well. So Tandem Bagel Company has made that possible. And then on Monday the 8th at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock p.m., we're performing on the Florence Bike Path near Straw Ave behind...
It's my house.
behind Ruthie's house. And last year I had approached you, Ruthie, about performing there, and that was the first time we had performed on the bike path. And the setup there is that most of the audience is on the opposite side of the bike path from where we are. Uh-huh. And so there are people biking through.
Yeah, it's a narrow strip of space, and that's sort of how you had to do it.
They get caught on one side or the other.
Right, and they don't know what to do.
So then they just stay and watch.
It was a plan.
It's like a fishnet.
Right. But I think there's something just like really real about that to me, and so I love it. And that was one of our favorite performances last year. And so we're so excited to be invited back. And the pedal people are hosting a potluck after.
Yes.
So
the performers, viewers are welcome to come to our Monday night potluck.
Yes, please come. Please come. We want to talk with you all. And
yeah, last year's performance was really great. It was just so neat to see that, like, well, it was kind of hilarious, like you say, like people lined up in chairs and coolers sitting on the one side and the performers on the other side. It's not something you usually, it's not like a gauntlet or something you usually have to go through on the rail trail. But it was just really neat for us because, you know, we try and make that a community space, which is really neat. All the neighbors, people who just stopped and hung out.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit like a picnic sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah, we're really grateful you're coming back again.
Thank you. Then we're going to take a break on Tuesday. That's our only day off. sorry, collaborators. On Wednesday the 10th, we're performing at 11:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. at Forbes Library in Northampton. It's our 3rd year performing there, and that's a really great spot. And we like it because it's right in the center of the city, but far enough away from the road that you don't have as much road noise. Mm-hmm. And we are choosing that time because we are inviting people to have a picnic lunch, and see a performance. And then on Friday, on Thursday, the 11th, we're performing at 5 o'clock and at 6 o'clock PM, also on the Florence Bike Path near Keys Ave on that, grass that's there sort of between Keys and maybe, is it Chestnut?
Yeah, like by the Florence Savings Bank parking lot.
Yeah, yeah. And that performance is sponsored by Craig De La Pena of the Murphy's Realtors, who also owns Sugar Maple Trailside Inn, as well as Full Circle Bike Shop. And so I just want to make sure I mention all our sponsors, because we were so fortunate to have their support. That's another part of how I'm able to pay my collaborators. And Full Circle actually donated tune-ups for us, which is amazing, because the towing the stage is really hard on my bike.
Oh yeah.
And I'm not as accomplished a bike mechanic as I someday hope to be.
I remember last year after the performance, you were going to go home, and I think y'all were a little bit tired. You were seeming tired actually. And then we looked at your bike, and it's like your brakes were rubbing, you're dragging. Yes. It's like, oh, we got to fix this, like, now. No wonder. It's just, like, really demoralizing to try and haul something with your brakes dragging.
Totally. And, yeah, I was so grateful for that. I mean, I went home, and I was like, and they fixed my bike for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Full Circle and Craig de la Penne and Sugar Maple Trailside Inn. So that's Thursday. And then Friday, the 12th, is Arts Night Out in Northampton. And so Arts Night Out is bringing us in to perform at 4:30 and at 5:30 p.m. And this one's a little tricky. They would like us, and we would like to perform at Pulaski Park, which has just reopened.
Yeah.
But because it's reopened, all of the bureaucracy around that is a little bit uncertain. It's like new.
Like in terms of who to ask for permission?
And like how quickly that can happen. And we weren't even sure like if the opening might be delayed. And so it's a little up in the air. But Memorial Hall is the sort of backup spot. And so they're adjacent to each other.
Yeah.
We're hard to miss.
Yeah.
You know, there's an entourage of bikes and this, you know, stage that people don't know is a stage until we get up and start performing.
Mm-hmm. So wait, have you been to Pulaski Park since
it opened?
What do you think about the wooden stage floors?
Not my stage, but yeah. I was like, oh, they made a stage for us. I mean, I don't know. I like it. I love the whole thing. It's beautiful. It's right downtown. I think it's gonna. So it seems like it's getting a lot of use, which I think is really exciting. I think you know, it'll be fun to see how like the culture of it evolves over the next year.
Yeah, like if you were performing at Pulaski Park, would the Tiny Dance Project be able to perform right there on the wooden stage that's there?
Probably not. First, I think that the planks are just a little bit, would be like a little bit hard on our feet because we dance barefoot. But also the work that we make is really made on the stage. And so it would be difficult for us to perform on a different sized space.
Uh-huh. Well, because you're elevated and you have.
Right. It's like a specific
up
height.
And down. And...
Exactly. And there's even, we use every inch of the stage. So like, I'll step up to the stage and curl my toes over the edge, and it's like a sensory thing. Like, oh, I know exactly where I am because my toes are right there at the edge. So without that, it's sometimes we rehearse in like a dance studio or like my collaborator's Pilates studio, and you know, sort of earlier in our season without the stage. And if we practice on the stage and then we come off the stage, we're always like, where are we in space? Mm-hmm. So, and then our last performance is the 13th, Saturday the 13th at 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. At Look Park in Florence. And that will also be followed by a potluck, an end of tour celebration.
That's a really good show. I like the Look Park show.
You like that one?
I do.
Why?
Like the Look Park one. I don't know. It feels like one of the more friendly ones.
Oh,
it's closer to our house. I don't have to bike as far.
Oh, yeah.
Also,
that's right. I brought the kid who's like, doesn't want to bike with me anywhere.
Also, it's easier to get friends to come to that one.
I agree. It's a really,
it draws people in.
Yeah, it's a fun one. It's a nice one to end the tour with because it's easy to like stay together afterwards and like.
And that's the one that's most like picnic.
Right.
Because
right.
There's food. Food is good.
Yeah. So the tour is like Saturday the 6th until Friday the 12th.
Until Saturday the 13th.
Or Saturday the 13th, sorry. So what does the Tiny Dance Project do besides this tour or the rest of the year or just...
That's a great question. It's been different every year, and some of that we're still trying to figure out. Last year, there was a lot of interest in what we do like because of the tour, and we ended up performing... basically every month all fall. And then we had a residency at Williston Northampton School in December, and then we performed at First Night, which was supposed to be a one-off, like just an experiment to see what would happen. Because everyone always asks, like, what do you do in the winter? And it's like we rest or we rehearse or whatever it is. But last year we decided we thought it would be really cool, and First Night, the organizers of First Night were interested in having us. And we totally lucked out that it was kind of warm. It was like sunny, and it was in the 30s, and there was snow on the ground, and we did dance barefoot. But
it was pretty cold.
It was okay. It was a little cold.
It was cold.
We had our adrenaline.
Some people
going.
Were barefoot. I was not.
And biking there was fine, but biking back was harder because it was like icing up a little bit. But but you know, it's summer and it's hard to remember. And Penny asked me to perform again, so we're gonna do First Night again this year. But we're gonna try and take a break. We have we're doing a residency at Hamilton College in September, and I think other than that, we're probably not gonna perform for the fall.
Where's Hamilton College?
In New York, in upstate New York,
Cool. Well, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, and with me in the studio are Kelly Silliman of the Tiny Dance Project and her daughter, Rosalie. And so I'm going to play a song, The Head and the Heart by Rivers and Roads. Do you want to say anything about this song, Kelly?
Yes. The song was introduced to us by my collaborator, Jamie, and we sing, this is a bit of a recurring theme in the piece that we sing, the last part of it. The Rivers and Roads part, so, and it's very beautiful.
A year from now, we'll all be gone. All our friends will move away, and they're going to better places, but our friends will be gone away. Nothing is as it has been, and I miss your face like hell. And I guess it's just as well, but I miss your face like hell. Talking about the way things change, and my family lives in a different state. And if you don't know what to make of this, then we will not relate. So if you don't know what to make of this, then we will not relate. Till I reach you.
That was The Head and the Heart, with Rivers and Roads, some lines from the Tiny Dance Project that will be said by Kelly and her cohorts in the performances coming up. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. And let me play a couple more things here from the clips before we get back to, well, we're going to talk some more with Kelly and Rosalie about Kelly's choice to not drive this summer. And so I was riding down State Street on my way to catch the rail trail back to Florence, and parked in someone's driveway right next to the street was a yellow bike, and I had a little tag on the front handlebars, and I thought maybe it would have a for sale sign on it. When I got close, it says Northampton Yellow Bike hanging off the handlebars. And it also says it around on one of the frame tubes. And then on the top tube of the frame, it says, "This yellow bike is free for anyone to use for short trips around town. It's maintained by a guy who loves bikes and wants to share them. Please be kind to it so everyone can use it. Don't steal it. Don't unlock it. Ride it softly. It won't take shredding. Return to downtown NoHo when you're done. Check brakes and tires before riding. Ride safely and at your own risk. If it needs air or service, is abandoned, trashed, or left somewhere weird, or if you have a bike or repair money to donate, write yellowbikenoho@gmail.com.
So I recorded that a week and a half ago, and since in the last week and a half, I've seen a bunch of these yellow bikes around town. Have you all seen any?
I haven't seen any yet. That's awesome, though.
Yeah,
I haven't been on the lookout either, though.
Okay, yeah, they've got like little, some of them, most of them I think have flags out the back with little yellow streamers.
Very cool.
Yeah, and a couple of announcements. The event's coming up this Saturday in Charlemont, the Charlemont Reggae Fest, Saturday, August 6th. And tickets in advance are $20. Gates open at 11 o'clock. Tickets at the gate are $25 with children under 12 free. And, of course, this Saturday and every Saturday, the Bike Lab.
I found a bike today. It looks so good. Why did you throw it away?
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones como arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bicicross. Lléguele a la bicicleta, ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
So we're back live in the studio with Kelly of the Tiny Dance Project and her daughter Rosalie. Kelly, can you say a little bit more about your decision to not drive this summer or your motivation for biking?
Sure. So I think I said earlier, you know, part of it had to do with trying to create a little more space in our schedule. There's 7 people in my house. My husband and me, our 4 kids, and my uncle, and we're busy a lot. But the other part of it was this sort of question about sustainability and the environment and the choices that we make. And I've always been really, really interested in why people make the choices that they do, and why some people recycle and some people don't, and why some people turn out their lights and some people don't. And so I think a lot about, probably too much, about the decision that I make in my life. And I hear a lot of people saying things like, I wish I could do this, but I wish I could do this, but, and I always wonder what the but is. And then I was mm-hmm. hearing myself saying, oh, I wish I could give up driving, but, mm-hmm. and so I thought, well, this is it. This is the summer that I'm going to give it a try, and I'll do it for the summer as an experiment. And, I think it would be, pretty hard to do year round at this point without, impacting the kids in a way that might bring about a rebellion, but
possibly.
But it also feels like definitely in the future that I would be biking or busing or walking, like, as sort of the way that I got around, like, my local area.
Mm-hmm. Rosalie, what would be hard for you, or what is hard for you with your mom not driving?
Well, I don't really like to bike, which...
Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
Well, I know. I'm in a room with, you know, you guys. But I don't really like to bike. So, yeah, I've been taking the bus and walking a lot.
How do you feel about that?
I like it. I like taking the bus. I really like walking. Mm-hmm. It just takes so long. But I don't like biking. I don't know why I don't like it. I just, it's, ugh. I mean, I do it, obviously, but, yeah.
Do you do any other human power transport, like a scooter, skateboard, or anything like that?
No.
Oh, she got on a skateboard the other day.
I tried a skateboard the other day, and
the bruise is gone, though, right?
I did pretty well. I was doing very well until I fell off.
I'm gonna send your friend Silas the link to this interview and see what he has to say about that.
Yeah, I hit a crack in the driveway going a little faster than I should have been.
Yeah. So how do you navigate that, like, as a parent or a child? Like, when as a parent do you say, hey, if you want to go somewhere, you're 14, you figure out how to get there?
Well, that's pretty much how it works.
Okay.
Yeah, it does.
And you know, I think I don't even know where to start with that. I mean, I feel like our family, like, operates pretty well together in terms of, like, decision making. And so this was, I think other summers I probably said I would like to do this, and the response has been like, I don't want this, and how will this work, and this kind of stuff. And so but then this year, because I said this is how it's going to be, then everyone has sort of been like, okay, that's how it's going to be.
It's worked better than I thought it would.
It's worked a lot better than I thought too. Yeah, definitely. And not because other people are picking up slack. I mean, I think that
Uncle
other people
Timmy
are driving
can
about
drive
what they
and mm-hmm. Dada can drive. So there's still people who can drive, but I've found myself having to get rides from my friends' parents more often and having to take the bus more often.
But I would propose that it's not all that much more than you would be getting rides anyway.
No, not really.
Yeah.
Because you don't really like to drive anyway.
True. And I have this theory, and part of, I have, like, these rules for myself. So one of the rules is, like, that I can get rides with other people, but not if they have to go way out of their way, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. if my friend in Holyoke, if I want to go visit my friend in Holyoke and I can't get down there, like on my own steam, it's not okay for her to come get me and then mm-hmm. bring me back, yeah. right? But my theory is like, if I do have to go somewhere where somebody does have to go out of their way, you know, I've had some work that I had to do in Connecticut that had to happen, for example, then because I'm not driving, I end up having time in the car with somebody who I presumably like. And so I get to spend that time yeah. with them. So that feels like a community building
yeah.
component of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people, I assume that a lot of people feel like they need to drive because they don't have enough time to do other things.
Right.
But they don't have enough time to take the bus or right. walk or bike or...
I mean, I think that's true and also a choice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think our schedule has been different this summer. And we haven't gone as many places. I would say a lot, like, visiting friends.
I found myself having a lot more time, you know, waiting for the bus.
Yeah, or
right.
being like... Well, sometimes I don't have as much time because I have to be somewhere. I'm working around the bus schedule, but I'm also have time where I'm just sitting, waiting,
yeah,
and talking to my friends or whatever. And it's kind of nice.
Yeah,
it's really funny how we define time and what it means right. to have time. Exactly. The time is always our time.
Exactly. When Arissa, my second oldest, was a baby, none of my kids really liked the car. I think that's like a pretty common thing. Like they didn't want to be in the car seat. They wanted to be on me. Mm-hmm. And so when Arissa was a baby, we were living in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I just said, forget it. I'm not going to drive right now. Like, I'm just going to take the bus. And I remember like going to the park to meet up with some friends would be sort of almost all day endeavor, mm-hmm. because the bus only came once an hour, and then I had to make a transfer, and then I'd hang out at the park, and then I have to get back, and then, you know, somebody has like a diaper change or whatever it is. And I remember, and then if the bus is late, I mean, the number of variables that could sort of slow the day down were much larger. But, I remember having these moments where I thought, but my kid's not crying, you know, like, I'm like, and sort of the pace of it felt, I'm a really busy person, like always, you know, and the pace of it felt really good. Mm-hmm. It's not quite as relaxed this summer, but.
Do you find yourself staying closer to home and building, like, do you see your neighbors more often? Are you more likely to live a more localized life?
Yeah. I mean, we see our neighbors as much as they're outside, because. Mm-hmm. The kids are outside a lot, and mm-hmm. yeah, we're outside a lot, mm-hmm. and I would say that's true. Yeah, mm-hmm. we are seeing more. Like, I think I see you more even this summer than I did mm-hmm. last summer.
Yeah, I think so.
And at the same time, like, I'm definitely trying to make sure that I stay connected to people who are a little bit further out.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on electric bikes, like whether you would use them for the Tiny Dance project to transport the stage?
Maybe if you got me an electric bike, I would bike more.
Maybe you should buy yourself an electric assist. I think, Tom, my husband periodically like pitches me the electric assist, just in general. And I go back and forth on it. But I think for Tiny Dance, I would never do it because it's still, like higher tech than I would like to be. Mm-hmm. And personally, I don't know that I don't want to say I'm close to it, or I don't think there's anything wrong with them, but I'm not particularly interested. And part of that, I know we have like 4 minutes left and this is like a huge thing
to
drop.
I know it is.
But
huge.
Like, you know, in a sort of like cheerfully apocalyptic way, I think the world is like, you know, going to end and and we're not necessarily going to have that stuff. And so mm-hmm. there's sort of like an interesting, it's interesting to me to think about what that might look like and to practice. I don't know. That sounds a little more doomsday than I am in sort of in real life. But uh-huh. yeah,
I was talking with my friend and coworker Violet, because, you know, pedal people's thrown around the idea a little bit. But, you know, Violet was saying, reminding me that like the basic bicycle is a mature technology, but the electric bike, like, who knows what you're going to be dependent on if some part of the battery breaks or.
Right. That's super interesting about the maturity of the technology.
Yeah.
I also think, you know, you can fix your own bike.
Yeah.
Pretty easily. with what you have.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything else? Add anything else before we close?
I just want to remind anyone who's tuned in later that we are inviting people to bike with us on the tour this year. And so on our website, which is tinydanceproject.com, and on our Facebook page, there's lots of information about our shows, what times they are, where to meet us. And we really believe very deeply in creating strong communities. And so this is part of that. We want people to bike with us and eat with us and, you know, hang out with us. So
Yay. Join
us.
Yeah. Thank you both so much.
Thank you, Ruthie.
Kelly Silliman and Rosalie Silliman. This has been Out There on Valley Free Radio on WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock.